This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be how to avoid personal insolvency. I am joined by barrister Miss Hannah Lathwaite from Lamb Chambers in London. Hannah is frequently instructed by creditors and debtors in all areas of corporate, personal insolvency and debt law, and she regularly appears in court applications to set aside statutory demands, to represent on bankruptcy petitions and in applications involving possession and sale orders. Thank you very much for joining me today, Hannah.
Thank you for having me.
We were talking about the new normal, weren't we? So I think remote recordings are going to be the case for a little while longer. So there you are remotely and we can see each other, which is great.
Yes.
Okay, so how to avoid personal insolvency part one. Now, I mean, we're recording this podcast in August 2020 and I am aware that there has been lots of reports of people trying to manage their debt during this time of mass redundancies going on. People are trying to restructure their finances. So I think this is a really good podcast for us to record and talk about these subjects and how to manage a situation if it goes beyond being able to manage the debt and repay the debts that you know you have. So, I mean, let's start off with, what should somebody do first, do you think, when they realise that they're not able to pay their debts? Because we do have a sort of human tendency sometimes when issues arise of what's called burying our heads in the sand. What would you say is one of the first things that people can do, Hannah?
Well, this is something that we have highlighted before because it really, really is such an important starting point if you are starting to feel overwhelmed with debt. The key advice on this is to not ignore the problem, but to try and get ahead of it, really, and contact those creditors that you think realistically there's just absolutely no way I'm going to be able to pay this debt when they want me to. The key is to contact them and say, look, I've had a look at my finances. This is just impossible for me. But what I've done is I've set out what I owe, how much is going out, how much is coming in each month, and this is how much I can pay each month for, say, 6 months rather than having to pay it all next month. So the key really is to just open up that line of communication early on before things start to kind of spiral and get out of control. Because, of course, when the debt starts kind of racking up into larger figures, it's when it is more difficult to necessarily persuade creditors to cooperate with you. So what I mean by that is if you were due to pay it this month, you just ignore it. You kind of wait for the chasing letters to come through the door month on month, and then 6 months down the line, try and do something about it. A creditor often won't be as amenable or cooperative in actually taking instalment payments from you instead. So that's the key. I'd say to try and get ahead of it with communicating with your creditors.
Yes. No, I mean, I think that's really, really key, isn't it? Because one of the things that I think people get afraid of and we can get afraid of is saying they're never going to talk to me. They're a big corporate, you know, business. You know, they're a big lender. They're not going to be interested in helping me out. But I think it's fair to say that now more than ever before, companies are obligated, and the government has put the pressure on for companies and corporates to help people in difficult situations. I mean, we had the mortgage holiday with properties, and people have been able to get help with their rent. And that's talking about other ways that the government has stepped in and said, during the crisis, you have to help people out.
Yes, and there certainly has been some specific measures that they've put in place to help with the coronavirus pandemic. which essentially give much more breathing room to individuals and also companies to avoid any sort of insolvency situation. And it's, in a sense, it is, in some cases, it could be delaying the problem, in that what you still want to be doing is trying to tackle the debt as and when you can. But what it does mean is gives you a bit of breathing space to avoid actually any sort of formal insolvency process being taken against you.
Yes.
Aside from that, even outside of these unusual times, whilst there isn't an obligation normally for a creditor to accept any proposals for payment that you put forward, generally creditors will be receptive, and certainly if you do go down the route of looking into an individual voluntary arrangement, those can be quite helpful in that actually all you need is a majority of your creditors to agree to it rather than every single one. So there is, aside from the current kind of assistance that's been put in place by the government, there is even that process, which is quite helpful to just round up your creditors, and actually if enough of them are supportive, you'll be able to get some relief again with that sort of process.
I think, and I do want to speak about IVAs in a moment, but I think one of the important things and messages here is sit down and do your finances. Just get a piece of paper or open up your laptop or computer and say, right, what money is coming in, very simply, what money is going out, so that you can then have as meaningful a conversation with your debtor as possible, where your creditor as possible, where you can say, this is what I can afford to pay now, and this is how long I can keep this up for. So, and really try to be, realistic about that, and don't overestimate what you can pay, because perhaps what you don't want to do is go back to a creditor and say, right, I was paying you, for example, £100, I can now only afford to pay you £50, and I can do that for the next three months or the 6 months when we can review it, and then actually you can't really afford the £50 either.
That's the thing. Certainly you need to be realistic, because what they want to see is you meeting that kind of separate agreement that you've reached with them.
Yes,
that is absolutely key, because that's really the foundation. If you are asking for help from creditors, or if you're asking for to be put into an IVA, or if you're asking for a debt relief order, that's really the first step, because you will need that really as way of by way of evidence that you need that assistance. You'll really need to be able to show them that, unfortunately, you've got to a position where your income just isn't enough to satisfy your outgoings when they fall due.
Yes, no, indeed. So I think one of the first things to do is just put pen to paper to understand what you can afford and be realistic. If it is a really small amount, then that's what it is, and stick to that. Because what you should try and do is commit to the amount that you've promised to pay. And I think very early on in the stage of trying to renegotiate your repayments on your debts, if you can prove that you've stuck to something and you can stick to something that you're proposing, you're more likely for it to stay within the creditor and not go to the credit companies that they sell debts to. Or if you end up in court, you'll be able to say, well, look, I did come up with this figure. Here's the evidence why, because here's what I earn and here's what goes out. And it will all help you, I think, going forward. And you've just mentioned individual voluntary arrangements, and I just want to point out a couple of things on that, Hannah. IVAs, as they're known as short terms, do affect the credit rating.
They do, yes. They will go on the individual insolvency register, and so they will last, usually it's 6 years from when they've been agreed, but they'll go on there, which is the same for debt relief orders as well.
Okay, let's pick up on a debt relief order in a second. So IVAs, when Hannah is saying that if most of your, or all of your creditors, or most of your creditors agree that you can enter into IVA, what we're saying here is, if you go to a company, there's specialist companies that at no cost to you can help you enter into an IVA agreement with your creditors. They will speak to everybody that you owe money to, whether that's one, two, three, 10 people, however many it will be. And what we're saying is, if the majority of your creditors say, okay, I will accept to have my debt repaid as part of an IVA, entering into an IVA with you, then you will automatically go into an IVA. You'll be able to go into an IVA if you can't resolve the repayment of your debts in any other way.
Yes, it's a more formal arrangement with your creditors that some of them might oppose, but if there's a majority vote for it, that will be imposed upon them. So it's a more formal way of paying those debts. And usually, practically speaking, you'll pay a certain amount of money in one direction, and that will be then distributed to those creditors who fall in the IVA. So it does mean you're not being kind of contacted from multiple.
I was just going to say, one of the things that should most certainly stop as soon as you enter into an IVA is that all the letters, and they are quite distressing and they can be quite worrying, whether you bury your head in the sand or you don't, that, you know, it's not pleasant. But they should stop the moment you get in contact with a company to say, look, I've got debt, I can't manage it. Can you help me put payment arrangements in place in order to be able to come to an arrangement where as much of it as possible gets paid off? And the reason why earlier I point out that IVAs do go onto your credit rating and credit report is because once you come out of that, or if during your IVA you try to go for a mortgage, or perhaps it could be a tenancy agreement where a landlord's insurer is doing a search to advise the landlord whether they should rent a property to you, or you go to open a bank account, or you go to get car insurance, wherever there's credit and finance attached, it will come up on your credit rating and it can affect your credit rating really negatively. So there's the trade-off.
Yes, that's the hazard warning, really. Yes. If you are going to try and apply for credit over £500, you will have to disclose the IVA, but it will come up on a credit reference check anyway. So it's better just to be open about it if you are in an IVA or have been. Usually it's disclosable for the same period of effectively 6 years.
And I think that's probably a good way to put it, Hannah, by saying that's the hazard warning, because if you don't want your credit rating to be negatively affected, and actually what we need to take into consideration amongst this is if you've already defaulted on payments, then your credit rating could have already been negatively affected.
Yes.
If you haven't defaulted on agreements yet, or it's been one missed payment or something like that, you haven't gone into the realms of 3-4 missed payments, then you might want to think about whether an IVA is right for you, because what we're saying here is there is a trade-off. Your credit rating gets affected negatively with an IVA on there. It could prevent you, and more than likely would prevent you, from getting a lot of favourable credit agreements, you know, remortgaging at a lower rate. A landlord might say no, your credit report didn't come back sufficiently good enough for me to rent a property to you, and other things. But is a creditor obligated by law, Hannah, to assist you in putting an IVA together? So let's assume the other half of your creditors said yes, I'm happy to go into an IVA, and one of them said no.
It has to be the majority. So if there is the majority of creditors supporting it, then that creditor saying no, it was effectively tough luck. They will be bound by the IVA if it gets approved by the body of creditors. So that is a good formal process to assist individuals. If they've already tried kind of informally contacting creditors and they haven't really got anywhere there, or in fact, if they've got to the point where the debts have spiraled and it is just too difficult to deal with, say, 30 different creditors who are.
Wow, that's a big number. Do people have 30 creditors? I guess some people might do.
People really do, get into difficulty because of certain pressures and trying to keep things up and, you know, hoping there's a new job on the horizon or something of that nature that might change their fortune. And so sometimes it does get to the point where it is reasonably overwhelming and desperate. As I said at the beginning, the key really is to recognise that's where you are at and take some action early on to communicate properly with creditors, and also just seek some debt advice. Yeah. There are charities out there who can help.
And even, I think, before, if you can see that the next month is going to be tough, next month onwards, there's going to be financial problems that you will not be able to keep up with payments. The sooner you pick up the telephone and you speak or you email or you correspond with your debtors and say, look, a problem is about to happen and I don't want the problem to happen, or, you know, I'm now just about to make my next payment and I can't do that. The sooner you speak to creditors, the better it will be, because you save things like your credit report from being affected negatively. And they, I think the creditors do appreciate the fact that you come forward. And look, if you're far way down the line with it and you have missed lots of payments and, you know, the credit report has been affected, that is what it is. But I don't think it's ever too late either. To stand up and say, look, I want to sort this out. This is what I can afford. And don't ever think that the amount you can afford, if it's really low compared to what you're paying, that you shouldn't make that offer. You absolutely should. Because if you go to court, if your creditor takes you to court, or they sell your debt to a credit agency, and I have to say, I'm not a fan of them at all, the way they carry on with hounding people for money. Really, I'm not. Then, you know, they will start looking at what you can afford, and you'll come back exactly as you said, Hannah, to square one, which is what we said at the beginning. Make that list of what comes in, what money comes in, what goes out, prioritise, and then take it from there.
Need to be realistic about that. Yeah. Like you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about debt relief orders. So let's explain what a debt relief order is, Hannah, and how it can help.
Well, it probably helps to start with who might be eligible for a debt relief order, because this is a type of assistance which only will help those with debts up to £20,000, so cumulatively up to £20,000. Those without any real assets of value, so your assets would be £1,000 or less, and that's not including your vehicle, unless your vehicle is valued over £1,000. So assets of less than £1,000.
Let me ask you this. You've said vehicle. Now, most of the time, or some of the time, people have lease, PCP, HP. When we talk about the value of the vehicle, are we saying less what you owe on your PCP? Because most people's vehicles are worth more than £1,000, I think.
A lot of them are. But if it's the things with when you're leasing a vehicle, usually you don't own it until, you know, the last payment's made. So yes, often you won't be accounted for, because if you default on those payments, usually you don't then, you know, the car might be repossessed under that agreement. So that tends to not be too problematic when it comes to assessing assets.
So just to be clear, we've said up to a we're talking about debt relief orders and who qualifies. So up to debt of £20,000, no assets over the value of £1,000, including your vehicle. But if your vehicle is on HP or lease hire, or there's any finance attached to it, then that isn't considered your asset. Is that right?
With those agreements, generally, the title and ownership of the vehicle just won't transfer to you until the end of that agreement and kind of the last payments made. So it's almost like renting a house, for example. But of course, with houses, you don't get them transferred to you at the end. But
yes, that would be nice.
You wouldn't call that an asset because you're paying rental on it. So with the vehicles, if you're paying rental on it, you don't own it, so it's not your valuable asset to kind of use. You know, for example, you couldn't use that as security for borrowing money, like you might with a house or with with the vehicle. It's if it's under £1,000, it's just not considered at all. If it's over £1,000, it's only if it's an asset that actually you own.
Yes,
not into that territory. But probably the most important one is the level of your disposable income. So when you do that list of what is coming in and going out, your liabilities and your income, your disposable income has to be less than £50 or less to be eligible for a debt relief order. So we are talking about those people who really haven't got the spare income to discharge debts and have got to that point. It may be because of a job loss or a similar kind of financial strain suddenly coming into their lives, care costs, you know, all sorts of things can change people's financial positions. But when that disposable income is £50 or less, a debt relief order is likely to be the one to assist.
So debt relief order, what is a debt relief order? Let's just explain that. Is it a court order that says all your debts go away, in short?
What it is an order that gives you 12 months free of being, so say you fall into that eligible criteria, your creditors will not be able to, and you get the order, and it is it's a court sanctioned kind of process, but the creditors of that you have won't be able to pursue you for 12 months. And ordinarily, those debts that you had at the start of the order, so at the start of the 12 months, will simply be discharged at the end of that 12-month period. So that doesn't mean to say that you won't be required to pay anything during that 12 months. It will be dependent on what is accepted by what's called the official receiver, who is the main insolvency body in the UK function of the government. What they say is okay in terms of payments, but if actually there's an outstanding debt at the end of the 12 months, ordinarily that will be written off to essentially give you relief and clear the slate for you to start again.
So let's just clarify that, because I'm getting confused myself, I think. So a debt relief order, if you do qualify, again I'll say it, up to £20,000 worth of debt, no assets over £1,000, your disposal of your level of disposable income is less than £50, and the court order grants it to you. It obviously is specific to everybody's situation. It could be that the court will order that you pay a certain amount for 12 months, but then after the 12 months, the debt will no longer, you will no longer be liable for it. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, there can be some continuance of payments during the 12 months, but ordinarily those debts will be essentially wiped at the end of the 12-month period. So that you can start again. So it can be a really useful tool. Now, I should, I suppose, just flag, this isn't something that you could do year on year. As part of the eligibility, you can't have had one in the last 6 years. So it's something that you you couldn't do every couple of years if you were to get into trouble with
So basically, to cut a very long story short, it does get rid of debt for you if you qualify. And obviously, debt, again, a court will find very uniquely in relation to your actual situation. That's really interesting, because does it affect the credit rating? Does it affect your credit rating if you have a debt relief order?
It does affect the credit rating. So it is very similar in the impact it has compared to an IVA. So it will still go on the individual insolvency, it's still registered on the individual insolvency register. And again, it will be 6 years from when the order was made.
Right.
Say court order, this is actually a very arm's reach process. So it's an application online. You will have to pay a £90 fee, but although the court is in the background sanctioning it, it is actually a more administrative process in terms of applying for it.
How interesting. That's really interesting, isn't it?
Well, it does. I hope that makes it sound less daunting than when we mentioned the court. It might sound, it's not as daunting as that. It is something that is there to be used. And you apply online with some assistance from a regulated body who does help with debt issues. And if the official receiver is happy with the evidence you've provided about what the debts that you owe and the income you receive, it will just be made at an arm's reach. In an arm's reach way.
So, and what we're saying by that is you don't have to attend a court, you don't have to be legally represented by somebody and in attendance at court. And I have to say, I mean, with the volume of work that the courts are facing at the moment and the backlogs, etc., that to have a process that somebody can make an application with online for something like this could be incredibly helpful to a lot of people.
Yes, yes. It's certainly, as long as you meet that eligibility criteria, it's a really useful tool. And that's why it is important to try and get some assistance if you're in trouble with debt, because actually you might want to be weighing up the different options. Actually, if you've got disposable income of less than £50 a month, an IVA might not be the right way for you. And you do need to make sure you're considering whether debt relief order, or even we've got the county court administration order if you've got a county court judgment against you. So there are these kind of multitude of options, and it is important to even get some charity advice, just to make sure that you're going in the right direction with asking for help.
Hannah, that's incredibly helpful. I'm going to save the county court administration orders for part two of our podcast, because again, we've run out of time. But thank you so much for your time today.
Well, no, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. And what I will say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.